Thank you. Okay, so today we are looking at 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we are looking at the first, it has about 42 verses. So we will look at the first 23 verses of Samuel chapter 20. And the theme here is David's distress and covenant with Jonathan. Okay, so let's set the ball rolling. Our study for today highlights David's distress in the midst of Saul's relentless pursuit to assassinate him. He therefore complained to his friend Jonathan of his present distress and sought Jonathan to be a true friend. The study also focuses on the renewal of covenant between David and Jonathan, emphasizing David's commitment to show kindness to Jonathan's descendants. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, "A friend laughs at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." So let's look at David's distress. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. "And David fled from this in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeks my life?'" As indicated in the previous study, David represents the lost elect who had escaped from Babylon or the church system of this world. Jonathan, on the other hand, is also a symbol of the lost elect who is still trapped in Babylon due to his strong bond with his father, Saul. His unwillingness to have to leave with David to suffer as a scapegoat let loose in the wilderness would cost him his life later. Here in verse 1, David was wondering why he was going through such a life-threatening experience, as if some strange thing was happening to him. That was also our experience at a certain stage of our walk with the Lord, when the Lord came to judge us so that we could learn righteousness. Just like David, we were all not prepared for the Lord's judgment of our old man or flesh when he came with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness into our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Isaiah 26, 8 and 9. "Yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 2 to 3. "And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it to me. He will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David swore moreover and said, Thy father certainly knows that I have found grace in thy eyes. And he says, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." Jonathan believed that his father Saul did not mean evil against David. Assuring David that he will not die implies that when we were in Babylon as the Lord's elect, we did not see the present danger of our spiritual death through continued fellowship with the church system of this world. This was because we were not given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven at that stage of our walk with the Lord. The fact that Jonathan did not know the intent of his father. Shows us that at that stage of our walk, we did not have a clue that the devil was our father and not our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 39 to 41. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Verse 44 of John chapter 8. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. David confessed that he was one step away from death in verse 3, is to let us know that as the Lord's elect, we are being given over to death throughout our walk with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desires, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at evening. The friendship and love between Jonathan and David is what must pertain among the Lord's elect. As the Lord indicated, we are to love one another to demonstrate that we are really his disciples. In another perspective, we can say that Jonathan's love for David demonstrates the love of the Lord for us, his brothers. Jonathan telling David in verse 4 that he will do whatever David desires is the Lord telling us that whatsoever we desire in his name, he will do it for us. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. As we can see in verse 5, David was running away to hide himself in the field for 3 days as a way to avoid sitting with King Saul at meat during the new moon festival. As we have indicated, Saul represents the church system of this world, or Babylon. Therefore, David, avoiding sitting at meat with Saul as part of the celebration of the new moon, implies that we must run away from Babylon with its false doctrine, that is the meat, and the weak and beggarly elements of observing these months, which would endanger our walk with Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 to 11 says, but now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. We can see from this story of David that leaving Babylon is a process. We may leave Babylon physically, but still remain in bondage to its false doctrines, observing birthdays, Christmas, Easter, etc. These are some of the idols of the heart which mitigate against our spiritual growth in Christ. David running away to hide himself signifies our seeking refuge in Christ, who is our hiding place. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. The fact that David was going to hide himself for 3 days implies that taking refuge in Christ is a process resulting in our spiritual maturity through the Lord's judgment. That is the significance of the number three. In other words, taking refuge in Christ involves suffering. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 6 and 7. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, the city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say this, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very rough, then be sure that evil is determined by him. David's decision to skip the new moon festivities because of its potential to endanger his life is a stern warning for us, his elect. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and 12 says, now all these things happen unto them for example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Through this new moon celebration, the Lord will use it to let both David and Jonathan know Saul's murderous intention regarding David. In other words, if Saul gets angry about the absence of David from the new moon feast, then it means that he had evil intent towards David. This implies that at a certain stage of our walk, the Lord wants us to know how we are hated by the world, including our brothers and sisters in Babylon. Knowing that we are hated by the world, which includes our brothers and sisters in Babylon, shows that we are maturing spiritually in him. As we are aware, it is children who are not able to discern easily those who hate them. John chapter 15, verse 18 to 21. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 8 and 9. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why should thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee? Here in verse 8, David reminded Jonathan of the covenant they have made before the Lord. As the Lord elect, our relationship with each other is governed by a covenant of love. It is through loving one another that we demonstrate that we are indeed the Lord's disciples. This love shows itself in dealing kindly with one another, as we see David reminding Jonathan in verse 8. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. In verse 9, Jonathan's statement that if he knew that his father meant evil, he would have told David, shows us that at that stage of our walk, where we were the Lord's elect, but still trapped in Babylon, we did not know that we are hated by the world, including our brothers and sisters in Babylon. This is because we were not given yet to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, since we were just like the multitude. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 12 says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speak thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them It is not given. At that time of our work, when we were in the churches of this world, we were not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Verse 12 says, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Who would tell David about Saul's behavior? 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 10 to 13. Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answers thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, come, let us go into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good towards David, and I will send not unto thee, and show it thee. The Lord do so, and much more to Jonathan. If it pleases my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he has been with my father. In verse 10, David wanted to know who would inform him of Saul's reaction when he realized that David was absent from the feast. In response to David's question, Jonathan took David into the field to show him how he would relay the message to David. As we can see, both Jonathan and David represent the Lord's elect. Jonathan taking David to the field implies that although we, his elect, are of the world, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery to one another, which the people of this world are not given to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. Thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also that thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth. As the Lord's elect, we are to show the kindness of the Lord to one another. This kindness to each other is from one age to another, or age enduring. It is insightful to note in verse 15 that Jonathan was in a way prophesying that David will overcome his enemies. In other words, as the Lord elect, we are promised victory over our enemies. According to the word of God, our ultimate enemy is not flesh and blood, but Satan and the spiritual forces of evil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 16 and 17. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he had loved him as he has loved his own soul. It is important to note that Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. This house of David is the assembly of the church of the Lord's elect. We are all in a covenant relationship with one another as the Lord's elect. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Jonathan making David swear again in verse 7 is to remind us that we are witnesses to the fact that we are to love one another. Jonathan loving David as his own soul implies that when one member suffers, we all suffer together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 18 and 19. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon. Thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou did hit thyself when the business was at hand, and shall remain by the stone Ezel." As we can see in verses 18, David was going to miss the new moon festivity because he had to run for his life. What this signifies is that our continued attachment to the weak and beggarly elements, weak and elementary principles of this world, as the beggarly elements, would cost us our lives. Galatians 4:9-11 says, "But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months, and times and years. And I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." In verse 19, David was required to stay away for 3 days in order to have the response from Jonathan about whether Saul meant evil or not. These 3 days represent the period of our judgment where we grow in maturity, able to discern between good and evil. David being required to remain at the stone called Ezel indicates that we must be ready to depart permanently from Babylon. Ezel actually means departure. This departure is predicated on our being able to discern that our continued fellowship with the church system of this world, or Babylon, represented by Saul, would cost us our lives. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 and 5 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 20 to 22. "And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go, find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come down, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord lives. But if I say unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord has sent thee away." As we have indicated earlier, the Lord was seeking an occasion to judge David. In the negative context, arrow signifies the judgment of the Lord, as shown in the following verses. Psalm 38, verse 2. "For thy arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand press me sore." Psalm 144, verses. "Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thy arrows and destroy them." Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 16 says, "When I shall send upon them, the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, I will increase the famine upon you, and I will break your staff of bread." So we are talking about the arrows being the Lord's judgment. The fact that Jonathan intended to shoot 3 arrows affirms the fact that what David was about to go through was part of the process of his spiritual maturity to the judgment of the Lord. Jonathan sending a lad or a young man to go and find the shot arrows signifies that David was a novice at that stage of his walk with Christ, and therefore needed to mature spiritually through the judgment of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. The strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As shown in verse 21, if Jonathan tells the young man that the arrows he shot were close by, then it means that David's life was not in danger. The rationale behind this riddle is that if what we are looking for is close by, then we do not need to exert effort to find it. That is the greasy kind of religion which permeates in the church system of this world, where we thought we were already saved, and therefore did not need to strive for the mastery. The Lord wants us to persevere in our quest to know him. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In verse 22, if the arrows shot by Jonathan were beyond the reach of the young man, it signifies that the judgment of the Lord is at hand and that David must run for his life. Also means that the Lord intentionally hides his truths, mysteries, and deep wisdom. And as the Lord's royals, we must search for it. This searching out is a lifetime pursuit which involves hearing the voice of the Lord in the midst of the fire of our affliction. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It is the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings, that means the Lord's elect, to search out a matter. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed his great fire. Thou heard his words out of the midst of the fire. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he lives. First Samuel chapter 20, verse 23. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord is between thee and me forever. The matter which Jonathan and David have spoken about pertains to David's salvation. This suggests that what every joint supplies in the body of Christ concerns our salvation, and therefore we must pay attention to it. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, unto him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Jonathan, reassuring David that the Lord was in their midst, is to let us know that whenever two or three of us are guarded in his name, he is there in our midst. Mark chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. May the name of the Lord be praised. Amen.